Well, good morning again, and I'm really thrilled today to be starting a 10-week series on the book of Psalms. And you'll be relieved to know that it's 10 weeks, because if I did one psalm per week, then we'd be here till, 2020? There's 150 psalms, and so we're just doing 10, and I'm not going to choose the 10 most famous. Some will be the really famous ones, and some, I hope to introduce you to some new psalms as well, psalms that you might not have discovered before. And I'll put down a list of the psalms that we'll be studying in next week's bulletin. So if you open your Bible to the middle, then of course you hit the psalms. The psalms are in the middle of our Bible, and they are really at the heart of so many Christians. They're in our hearts. We love the psalms. They're our prayers. They're our songs of joy. What are some of the things we love about the Psalms? There's so many things. One is that they express such a full range of emotions, don't they? When we read the Psalms, we see sadness. We see great joy. We see anger. We see gentleness. We see peace. We see frustration. We see despair. We see the full range of human emotion is captured in the book of Psalms. And when we read through the Psalms, something in our spirit responds to that. We're thrilled to see that there's someone else who shares the deep feelings and struggles that we feel and that we experience from day to day. And so we're starting today with Psalm 1, which is very much an introductory psalm. The psalms were arranged. We don't know exactly when they were put in the order that they were put in, but we see Psalm 1 is very much introductory to the whole book of Psalms. It's a bit like a foyer of a beautiful library. That's the way I like to think of it. So there's a magnificent library filled with wonderful old leather-bound, dusty, smelly books. And here we are in the foyer, and we are entering in to the library, and Psalm 1 introduces us to what is going to come in the book of Psalms. The word psalm means to pluck, or it comes from a verb that means to pluck, not to pluck chickens, but to pluck the guitar. And it's a word that refers to musical accompaniment. So the psalms are songs, they are poetry, they're filled with metaphor and beautiful imagery. And one of the devices of the Psalms that works in both the original Hebrew language and in any other language in the world is this device of parallelism. And so as we study the Psalms, we will see that one of the frequent devices, it's almost everywhere in the Psalms, is this idea of parallelism. What is parallelism? It's where something is said and then that same thing is said in different words. And what that does is that it reinforces the point. It shows us that same point from a different perspective. It drives that point deeper. And so there is this wonderful literary device called parallelism, and it would be good if we are alert to that as we study the book of Psalms, because it helps us to better interpret what is being said. So here we are in the foyer of the book of Psalms, and it begins with this wonderful, beautiful word, blessed. And this word could also be translated happy. And it's very emphatic in the original language. It's probably better translated, how happy, how blessed. And isn't that a great way to start the book of Psalms? How happy, how blessed. And we just need to pause for a moment to remember that happiness in the Bible is not that fleeting emotion that we feel from time to time when things just seem to, everything's going right for us and all the planets are aligned and we're happy, and then that happiness quickly dissipates when we remember our troubles and our struggles. In the Bible, the word happiness refers to a far deeper emotion. It's a deep joy. It's a deep feeling of peace that is within us, no matter what life may throw at us. And so even those who are really struggling, who are really battling, who are really suffering, can have this happiness, this blessedness that the Bible talks about. And here in Psalm 1, we learn how we can have that happiness. Blessed is the one, and here it starts with a negative. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Do you see this progression of action here? So, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Blessed is the one who does not stand in the way that sinners take. Blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. So, we see someone walking, taking their stand, and then settling in and sitting. And the Psalms say that the blessed ones, the happy ones, the people on earth who are to be congratulated and envied, are those who don't walk in that way of wickedness, and who don't stop and take their stand in the way that sinners take their stand, and who don't then settle and sit on the seat of mockers. And we can see, can't we, how mocking is the end result of taking your stand or walking in the way of wickedness. And mocking is so often something that people do when they don't understand something, right? They don't understand something, and so they mock it. And how often do people mock the Bible, who don't understand it, who've never studied it, who've never looked at it, who've never tried to understand it even? Oh, no, it's just nonsense, it's just rubbish, it's just that religious book that gullible Christians believe, and they mock what they don't understand. And the Bible says, blessed are those who haven't got to that horrible point of mocking God and the things of God, the Word of God. And even at the cross of Jesus, as he was dying on Golgotha, what did people do? They mocked him. They mocked the Son of God as he died for the sins of the world. Blessed are those who haven't yet got to that horrible place of mocking God and the things of God, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And that word delight, in the Hebrew language, it refers to something precious, like a jewel, something valuable. So blessed is the one who delights in the law of God. Now, those are two words we don't normally put together, right? Blessed, happy, and the law of God. Because we read the law of God and straight away we think of something perhaps oppressive. Something that kind of stands over us and overshadows us and spoils life, that takes the joy out of life. Well, there's a couple of things to say about that. First of all, the word law, it translates the Hebrew word Torah, and Torah means instruction. It means training. And so when you see that word law, it's not just about rules and regulations that stand over us and oppress us. It's the law of God given to train us, to instruct us, to grow us. Blessed, happy is the person who delights in God's instruction, who treasures God's instruction. It's valuable to them. And as we read the Psalms, we see just how much the authors of the Psalms, David authored so many of them, loves the law of God because it's God's law. He loves God's instruction because it's from God. God's his Father. He delights in it. Blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on this law day and night. And I put in my notes for those fellow word lovers, that word meditate, it's a word that meant that described the cooing of doves, strangely, or the kind of growling of animals. And so you hear that happens in our place when the dog's got a bone and you go near it, and your man's best friend now becomes this primal, terrifying beast, and teeth are snarled, this growling that goes on. Anyway, this Hebrew word refers to the kind of noises that animals make, almost like background noise that animals make. And it came to refer to a person who is kind of muttering away. They're sort of muttering. What are they doing? They're thinking aloud. They're thinking aloud. And sometimes, I mean, last night is an example of this. I was walking home from my mother-in-law's, and if anyone was passing me, they'd think, why did they let him escape? We better call the hospital, because I'm going through my sermon, I'm thinking about it, I've tried to memorize someone, I'm speaking it over, and I'm pretty much just talking as I'm walking along. And it must look very strange to other people, but what the psalm is saying is, blessed is the one who treasures God's word so much that they are talking about it, thinking about it, it's always on their mind, they're kind of muttering it. Day and night, it says, who meditates on this law, day and night. Notice that the blessed person is not the one who meditates on God's law once on a Sunday morning, once a week on Sunday morning. And the happy one, the blessed one, is not the one who meditates on God's law on Sunday morning and at a growth group. Although it's so important to be here. And I fully commend our growth groups. They are wonderful places to gather together with like-minded Christians to read and to explore, to question, to discuss the Word of God. If you're not part of a growth group, we fully encourage you to become a part of one. What it says here is the blessed one is the one who treasures God's word so much that it's always on their mind. They're always thinking about it, always muttering it over, talking to themselves about it. And we see that in the book of Psalms. We see so often a person who is talking to themselves about the word of God. And that's the amazing thing about being a human. We can talk to ourselves and still be sane. It's not essentially a sign of craziness. We can talk to ourselves in a very deliberate way, in a very logical way. Blessed is the person who reads and understands the Word of God and who tells themselves, talks to themselves about the Word of God day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Streams, it's a word that referred to an irrigation canal. Because there are plenty of streams up on the mountain that are all gushing and flowing one month and then they're bone dry the next, right? And the trees next to those streams are very confused trees, and they don't know whether to give fruit or not, because sometimes they're very happy, sometimes they're distressed by the lack of water. But the person who is blessed, who's meditating on God's word day and night, they're like a tree that's planted beside an irrigation canal. There's permanent water, you see. Permanent water, permanent blessing, permanent life. What a blessing to plant yourself next to that stream of the gospel. The good news that God has sent his son to die for sinners. What a blessing to plant yourself next to that living river of the promises of God. The certain hope that we have in Jesus Christ of a new heaven and a new earth. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's where you want to be planted, brothers and sisters, next to that stream of living water that is full of all the wonderful promises and blessings and certain hopes of God. A person like that, they yield fruit in season. They're fruitful. And coming to Hobart, it's one of the things we notice straight away. Perth is a very dry and sandy place, essentially. People say, what's Perth like? I say, it's flat, sandy and hot. That's Perth. That's why we love it here. That's why we moved here. And you come here, and you walk around the neighbourhood, and there are fruit trees everywhere. We arrived in summer, and there were plum trees, and other stone fruits, and grapes, and figs, and the trees are full of fruit. And fruit, we love the fruit trees. They're a blessing. They delight us. And the person who is in love with the Word of God and who delights in the Word of God and who's muttering the Word of God to themselves day and night, they are a blessing to others. They bring delight to others. There's fruit that goes to others to nourish them and to build them up. And I have been so blessed by so many Christians who love God's Word and have brought the truth of God's Word to bear on my life, not just at critical points, but at everyday kind of points as well. Yes, there have been those turning points in my life where a wise man of God has brought the fruit of God's Word, and that has helped me at a critical moment. But I'm even more blessed, I think, by my brothers and sisters who just talk about God and talk about Christ and talk about His Word. It refreshes me. Aren't you refreshed? Don't you feel refreshed? Brother by a brother or sister who knows the Word of God and they're bringing out its truths at all times. Lost my place. Whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. At this rate, Psalm 1's going to turn into the whole 10-week series. But I cannot rush past this. Do you see what our Father's saying to us here? He's saying that if you delight in the Word of God and you're preoccupied with the Word of God, your leaf will never wither. And we know, we have in this church, I'm looking at some of you, old Christian men and women, and your bodies are failing you. There's bodily suffering and pain, and there are struggles in your life, and there is suffering, and things seem to be falling apart. You know, people from the world would look at you and think, that poor person. But your leaf is not withering. There's life there, you see. There's life. And you are a blessing to others. And you bring life and joy and blessing to others. And we all know Christians like that, don't we? It's like the older and more decrepit they get, the more joyful they seem to become. This is a Christian thing. This is a distinctly Christian thing, because I just don't see this in the world. In the world, I see people get old and sick and their bodies fail and there's despair. And there's a sense of hopelessness that begins to rest on them. And they see the grave and there's despair. But I see the very opposite with Christians. The older they get, the closer they get to the grave. The more joyful they feel in the Lord and the more they see His grace and His blessing, and that blessing overflows into the lives of others and they bring fruit into the lives of others. And we can all be like that. We should all be like that. Every Christian can grow to be like that when we delight in the Word of God. Not so the wicked. Not so those who despise and mock God and His Word. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And here you need to, if you've got your bulletin, Or as someone called it the other day, our church magazine, becoming a bit of a magazine. That picture there, you want to be looking at that picture, because that's how they used to process wheat. That's how they still process wheat, apparently, in some parts of the world. And you see what's going on there. There's the wheat has been cut, it's put in a big pile, and the men come in with their big forks, and they toss the wheat up into the air. Yep. And what happens when they toss the wheat up into the air? The grain and the husk separate, and the breeze blows away the husks. It's the chaff. And so you do that all day. You're throwing up the wheat all day, and there's a breeze. The heavy grain falls, and the light wind blows the chaff away. And our Father is saying to us that if we are not treasuring the Word of God, if we are not planting ourselves the promises of God's Word, then instead of bearing fruit that delights others and is a blessing and joy to others, we just become chaff. It's worthless, it's light, and that means something that's light is easily influenced, easily swayed by anything going on in the world. The values of the world shift and change, and the chaff just goes along with the breeze. But there are those who are planted, and there's fruit. They're not chaff that's blown away. And there is something ominous about chaff as well, because it's in the New Testament. John the Baptist, and I'm reading here from Matthew 3, verse 13. Talking about Jesus, he said his winnowing fork is in his hand. So John the Baptist is inviting us to picture Jesus with his winnowing fork, lifting up the wheat, watching the grain separate from the chaff. And he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so those who are not planted in God, in the promises of God, easily swayed, easily just drifting along with the winds and currents of the world, and at the end, a dreadful judgment. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And we finish here, brothers and sisters, we finish here with two ways, two paths. Psalm 1 has been talking about the blessing that comes to those who treasure and meditate on the Word of God day and night. And it ends by putting two paths in front of us. The path of the wicked and the path of the righteous. And listen to the difference. And obviously, our Father is saying, which path will you walk down? Which path will you take? Here are two paths in front of you. Which will you take? And there's a sense in which it doesn't matter which path you've taken up until today. There's always this fork in the road. And here it is again in front of us. Two paths. There's always decision. Always this moment of faith. Always this moment where God challenges us, our Father challenges us and says, which way will you take? Which way will you take? The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And I much prefer the old translation, the word, the Lord. Has someone got it there? An older translation, the Lord knows. Who's got that in their Bible? The Lord knows. What have you got there, Dave, the New King James? ESV, the Lord knows. Because in the Bible, the word know is about relationship. In the Bible, the word know is never just knowing about something or someone. It's knowing that person. It's being in relationship with that person. It's being near to that person. And so here's one path in front of us, Psalm 1 says. Our Heavenly Father says. And it's the path of knowing and treasuring and trusting the word of your Father and planting yourself next to it and meditating on it. And you'll be fruitful and you'll bring joy to others. And your life might come crashing down over you in terms of your money, your body, your relationships. Everything might come tumbling down, yet your leaf will never wither. And you'll still bring strength and life and joy to those around you. The Lord watches over that path. He knows that way. He knows those who are on that way. They're in relationship with God. He loves them. He's their Father. That's one way. And then there's the other path. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Which way will you take? Which path will you take? I just want to finish with three very quick applications. And my first is just to say, that at Cornerstone, it is our commitment to bring the life-giving, living Word of God to you every week. And what I love about, there's so much I love about you and this church, and one of those things is that you expect me to chain myself to my desk with my books. We should have the word study on my door, not as a noun, but as a verb. Campbell, study. And you want me to do that. And I'm so thankful for that. Because we are committed to this. We believe that this is the living, active, powerful Word of God that changes lives. And so our commitment to you is to bring that week after week from here and in our Bible studies. But again, that's not night and day, is it? And so the second thing is I want to ask you about your commitment. The commitment of the elders is to bring the Word of God to bear and to do that as well as we can. What's your commitment? Will you commit? Will you commit to preparing for Sunday? Now, some of you, you walk away on a Sunday morning, didn't get much out of that. Okay, I'm the last person to say that I'm God's gift to preaching. I'm the last person to say that. And I know my weaknesses, flaws and failings are many and deep. But if you come expectantly, and if you've read the passage in advance, that's why we put it in the bulletin, we send it out on Thursday. This is not just an administration thing, it's a spiritual thing. We want you to know this is what we're studying on Sunday. And lately I've been putting my notes in because I want you to see and read those notes and prepare. And I guarantee that no matter how weak things might be from this point, that if you come with an expectant heart and you've prepared, you'll get something. You will grow. You'll be challenged. You will leave differently to the way you came. Will you commit to doing that? Will you commit to a Bible study if you're not yet part of one? We think that they are very important in the life of our church. We're too big a church for one person to be looking after. We have 180 people on our roll. We don't all turn up at once, but that's far too many for this one person to look after. And so our Bible studies are important places of studying God's word and pastoral care. And Raphael is our elder in charge of our growth groups. Go and see him, and he'll be delighted to connect you to a group. And there's a list of them on the back. And will you commit to reading God's word yourself? And for years, my Bible study reading plan was to read a chapter a day. That's all it was. I did that for years. And will you commit to reading God's word, a chapter a day? If you do that, you'll read the Word of God in 3 years. So do the maths. You read it 3 chapters a day, you read the Bible every year. And that's a wonderful habit to be in. Parents, will you commit to reading to your children? Husbands and wives, we fail so badly at this. So many of us began our marriages with wonderful intentions of reading God's Word together as husband and wife. And so many of us have failed. And there's so many reasons for that. But can we get back to this? Can we commit to this? Can we come back and strengthen each other with the living Word of God? Let me pray. Our Father, this book that we hold in our hands is your love gift, proof of your love for us. And Father, I thank you that when we read it, we hear you speaking to us. Lord, forgive us for despising this treasure, for neglecting it, leaving it on the shelf. We pray that we might be like this person described in Psalm 1, that treasures the Word of God. We pray that your Word will be our treasure, that we will speak it to ourselves day and night, that we will plant ourselves next to it. And Father, I pray that you will help the parents of this church in that very difficult task of reading the Bible to their children. And I pray that you will help those of us who are married, help us to read your Word together. Father, forgive us for not doing that. Help us, please, we pray. Amen. Yeah. Musicians, thank you.